Welcome to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, where winners eat.
Welcome to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhouse along with you this weekend from the Oakland Coliseum in Oakland, California. Coming up on this week's show, as always, we'll hear from Farm Director Carter Hawkins, Tribe General Manager Chris Antonetti on a busy week for trades. Also, Carlos Carrasco and Francisco Lindor will be a part of the show. But first, we take a look at the week gone by when we come back as we get rolling with Tribe Talk on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Jim Rosenhouse back with you on Tribe Talk from the Oakland Coliseum in Oakland, California. Our week in review, well, it begins on Wednesday because the Indians had a difficult homestand, dropping the first six games of the homestand. They were swept by the White Sox, then dropped two straight to Kansas City. But by Wednesday afternoon, it was a team that was looking to do some damage and wipe out what had been a tough homestand to that point. And wipe it out they did in a 12-1 win over the Royals. They got it started early with a couple of runs early on, and then Giovanni Urshela went deep in the sixth.
The pitch. Urshela with a long drive. Deep left field. It is gone. Giovanni Urshela with a blast to the bleachers and left. His third, and the Indians have a 3-0 lead. So the rookie third baseman, who has sparkled defensively and certainly held his own with the bat, has put the Tribe on top 3-0. 15th home run given up by Guthrie. Looked like he hung a slider and Urshela didn't miss it.
Later on in that sixth inning, Jason Kipnis came up with a big base hit.
Now the 0-2 pitch. Swing and a little flare to left. That's a base hit. Bourne hits third. He's coming home. On his way to third, Holt with a head first slide is in safely. The Indians lead it 4-0. And Jason Kipnis has another multi-hit game. His third straight in this series.
And Francisco Lindor would show some power.
Lindor 4 RBIs in this series. The pitch to him. He sends a high drive deep right. Down the line it goes. It is gone! Seven nothing Indians. Francisco Lindor, his second three-run homer in the series. It's a five-run inning.
The next hitter was Michael Brantley.
Now the wind and the 2-2 pitch. Swung on, hit deep to right. Ah, oh, forget about it. Out of here in a blink of an eye. Sweet revenge for Michael Brantley. Back-to-back home runs. Three in the inning. Indians 8, Royals nothing. Ned Yost will make a pitching change. And Brantley has his eighth home run.
Then in the eighth inning, the Indians piled on thanks to Yan Gomes.
Now Gomes with a long drive, deep left, gone to the porch. Wow. Yan Gomes gets the Indians' fourth home run. And the Indians have four more runs on four more hits off Luke Hochaver. And it's 12-0 Indians. As Yan Gomes gets home run number 5, giving him 18 RBIs, three of them today. A no doubt about it blast to the porch in left.
And all the while, Corey Kluber was just tremendous for the Indians, starting what would become a run of complete games.
Corey Kluber is ready. He sets, fires, and the pitch swung on, bounced to third. Fielded by Urshela, throw to first, ball game. And the Indians stopped their six-game losing streak with a dominating performance today by Corey Kluber. And the Indians' bats had a big day as the Indians pummeled the Kansas City Royals by a final score today of 12-1.
After the game, Kluber stopped by to talk about his fine effort.
Hey, congratulations. A terrific outing. I know it would have been great to get a shutout, but a heck of an outing on your part.
Thanks. You know, hey, like I said, shutout would have been nice, but I'll take the win for the team instead.
And, Corey, you're facing a team that you face on a regular basis being in the division. How much of do you look back at prior starts against that opponent as you prepare for them again?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be silly not to. I think, they've had some success earlier this year against me, you know, being really aggressive. And so I think Jan and I were kind of aware of that, and we made a conscious effort of changing speeds on them early in the count to, you know, kind of try to keep them off balance a little bit.
Corey, you had a perfect game through four, and obviously you've been in this position before. Do you ever think about it? Does it ever dawn on you at any point in the game what you've done up to that point?
No, I don't think so. What'd you say, the fourth inning? I think that's a little too early to start worrying about anything like that. I mean, plus, you know, at that point, it's still, I think it was a 2-0 game, you know, up until the sixth maybe. So,
yeah,
you know, we busted open after there, but it was a close game, so you got to stay locked in.
You mentioned those big innings late, and sometimes you hear pitchers say, well, you know, a quick inning's better offensively. I can get right back out there and stay in a rhythm. Would you take the alternative any day of the week, what you saw today?
Absolutely. Like you said, sometimes you get in a rhythm and it kind of flows when you get back out there quick, but I'll take 12 runs over getting in a rhythm any day.
Hey, Corey, before we let you go, you know, three Indians got drilled today, and you're pitching such a good game. It is a close game. Is that a hard thing to stay out of?
Like you said early on, I mean, there's a situation in the game. You don't want to run that risk of trying to do something stupid and then all of a sudden, you know, the tying runs on base or up to the plate. So, you know, I mean, I think for me today, it was just more so focusing on, you know, getting the win. It's easy to let your emotions get the best of you sometimes in those situations, but, you know, I don't think there's anything meant by it, I guess.
Well, you did a great job today. Terrific job, Corey, and we really appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Then it was on to the West Coast, where the Indians opened up a series with the Athletics on Thursday night. More good pitching, this time from Carlos Carrasco, with some early run support from Carlos Santana.
The pitch. A swing and a high fly ball to deep center. This has got a chance. It is gone! A home run to center for Carlos Santana. And the Indians have a 3-0 lead. Boy, when he uses the middle of the diamond from left center to right center, he can be some kind of hitter. That is 12 home runs for Santana. They've all come batting left-handed.
And Carrasco would make it three consecutive complete games for the Indians with a solid effort finishing things out in the ninth inning.
The right-hander's ready. He delivers. Swing and a weak chopper to second. Kipnis gloves, throws, ball game. Carlos Carrasco pitches the Indians their third straight complete game. They hadn't done that in 21 years. Carrasco gets his second complete game of the year and his 11th win of the season, and he does it in magnificent fashion. A two-hitter giving up both hits and a run in the first inning and finishes the game striking out seven. He walked one, and Carlos Carrasco made only 103 pitches. Wow.
Then on Friday night, another well-pitched ball game, this time Danny Salazar doing the honors, as through the eighth inning, Salazar had retired 18 straight.
If this is Danny Salazar's last inning, he's trying to finish it with a flourish and finish with 18 consecutive retired hitters. The pitch, he did. He strikes out Semien. Fourth for Salazar. He's retired 18 in a row. We go to the ninth.
But when Salazar left the game, he left it tied at one. That's when the Indians went to work in the ninth inning. Michael Bourne coming up with the big base hit.
Now the 2-0 pitch to Bourne. He drives one to deep center. On the run is Burns. It'll split the gap. It'll bounce over the wall for a double, and the Indians take the lead. Oh, Michael Bourne put a charge into one. An RBI double to right center. And the Indians have a 2-1 lead here in the ninth. And his hot hitting continues. Michael Bourne, 8 for his last 14, and that's a big go-ahead double. 12 doubles, 19 RBIs for Michael Bourne. And Lonnie Chisenhall, who's had a big night with 3 hits, started this inning with a single and a steal, scores.
And in the bottom of the ninth, it was Cody Allen on to try and clean things up.
The payoff pitch. Swung on a bouncing ball to second. Avila's gloves, throws, ball game. Cody Allen gets saved, number 21.
2 hours
and Danny Salazar gets win number 9. And the Indians pitching retires 21 in a row to end it. The Indians have won the first 2 games of this series, giving up 1 earned run in the 2 games and allowing 3 hits.
So the Indians had 3 consecutive complete games at one point after Carrasco's gem on Thursday night. Salazar with a near-complete game on Friday night. Some good pitching and a 3-game win streak heading into play Saturday evening in Oakland. When we come back, we will hear from Tribe General Manager Chris Antonetti after this break on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you from the Oakland Coliseum in Oakland, California. Indians and Athletics playing in a 4-game weekend series. Good start for the Tribe in the first 2, winning Thursday night and then on Friday night as well, behind strong pitching efforts from Carlos Carrasco and Danny Salazar. And as we head deeper into this segment, we will hear from Indians General Manager Chris Antonetti on the deals leading up to the trade deadline for the Indians, and also about the rumors regarding the Indians talking to teams about their young and controllable starting pitching, like a Danny Salazar, like a Carlos Carrasco, and just how close the Indians may or may not have been to completing a deal in those cases with their biggest asset, that young, controllable starting pitching. But first, a look back at the trades this week before we talk to Chris, just to review for you, 3 veteran players on the move from the Indians, and it started on Tuesday night when outfielder David Murphy was traded to the Los Angeles Angels in exchange for infielder Eric Stametz. Murphy finished his season this year as a vital cog in the Indians' lineup as he hit .296, had 5 home runs, 27 runs driven in, played in 84 games for the Indians as an outfielder and a designated hitter. What did the Tribe receive back? Well, a Dublin, Ohio native. Stametz had spent the entire season this year at AA Arkansas, where he was hitting .248, had 3 home runs, 23 runs driven in, and had played in 62 games in the Texas League. He was the Angels' 2013 Organizational Defensive Player of the Year, and that's the scouting report on him, that he is an outstanding defensive middle infielder, mainly at shortstop, but has a ways to go yet at the plate. So we'll see how Stametz develops. He went from high school in Dublin, Ohio, to the University of Evansville before being selected in the 6th round of the 2012 draft by the Angels. Now, the big trade that the Indians made came on Thursday, in which Brandon Moss was sent to the St. Louis Cardinals. Moss had a disappointing season, and especially of late, the last month and a half or so, he really labored at the plate. Finished his time with the Tribe hitting .217 with 15 home runs and 40 runs driven in, playing in 94 games, but was hitting right in that .150 range with very little power from June 15th on. So the Indians dealt him to the Cardinals for left-handed pitcher Rob Kaminsky. And depending on what you read in terms of where a status of a young prospect is, whether it be Baseball America or MLB.com, Kaminsky is considered to be one of the top young left-handed pitching prospects in the game. And we had a chance to visit with Chris Antonetti early on Saturday, the Tribe general manager, completing work on the trade deadline. And we asked him about his thoughts on the deadline and what the Indians were able to get done based on where they were in the standings and projections for the remainder of the season.
You know, obviously, as we've talked about at numerous different points in time, you know, we're not where we wanted to be or envisioned being as a team. But, you know, we still have an opportunity in front of us to, you know, to play better baseball in the second half and to learn more about ourselves heading into next year. And so what we tried to accomplish at this point in the deadline was maybe get some young players back that could be part of our future and while preserving the core of what we feel will continue to be or what should be a good team moving forward.
And of the three players that were moved, David Murphy was having a good season. Mark Sepchinski, certainly a reliable contributor out of the bullpen. Brandon Moss, though, when you look at what you thought you were getting and then how things transpired during the first half and then some of the season, how much of a frustration was it for him at the time of the trade just to look back on the season that he had?
You know, it's interesting, Rosie. In talking with Brandon when I had to inform him about the trade, I think that was one of the first things he actually pointed to was just his frustration that he didn't perform better individually. Because for anyone who spent even a minute around Brandon, you know how passionate he is, how much he cares, how much he wants to contribute to be part of a winning team. And I think, you know, when he looked back at his first half, he wished he had been more productive. And I know that's something that wore on him. And he was a great guy. He is a great guy, a great teammate, and one that, you know, we certainly wish well and hope he does very well for the Cardinals.
And of the players that you received back in the three different trades, it appears as if Rob Kaminsky, the young pitcher from St. Louis, is the highest rated. And what do you like about him, and how long have the Indians had an interest in him going back to even draft time when he was coming out?
Yeah, all three guys we got back in the trade, Rob Kaminsky, Eric Stamets, and Abraham Almonte, are guys that we've liked for a while. In Rob's case, he's a former first-round pick by the Cardinals in 2013 out of a high school in New Jersey, and he was pretty high on our draft board at the time and has transitioned to pro ball, and we've continued to receive good reports on him, and he's pitched well. So it's a guy that we think has a chance to be an effective major league starting pitcher, and you know, he's still in high A, so he has some development left in front of him, but a guy who has a very bright future.
Chris Antonetti joining us, Indians general manager. Chris, in terms of interest in starting pitchers, quite a few rumors out there that the Indians were involved in discussions with other teams about your young, controllable starting pitching. Carlos Carrasco's name came up specifically. The nature of those talks, I think some fans felt that you were trying to move a starting pitcher, but explain the context of those rumors and the trade discussions that were had about your young starting pitching.
Yeah, I think what it's reflective of, Rosie, is that there are a lot of teams that really valued our rotation, among other players on our team. And that's an encouraging sign for us because we received a lot of calls with significant interest in a lot of our players. And, you know, as I've said all along, at no point were we motivated to trade any of them, but part of my responsibility is to learn how other teams value them, and if there's something that made sense for the organization, then to move that forward. But we came into it in a really good position because we have a, you know, what we view to be a core of our team moving forward, and that's a young, dynamic and starting rotation that has a chance to be together for a number of years. So certainly did not approach it where we were looking to do anything there, but again, this time of year, you talk about a lot of things with a lot of different teams, and there were a lot of teams with interest in not only our rotation, but a number of other members on our roster.
Now, there have been some roster moves to fill the spots vacated by the three players who were traded. How much activity, though, do you anticipate in the next week or so with the roster to try and get it to a point where you're happy with it heading into the final 2 months of the season?
I think there will be some fluidity to the roster, and that we may have some, you know, some changes, or not major, but you know, some players that we'd like to get up from Columbus to help, you know, give them or to provide them an opportunity at the major league level. And I think that's one of the things we want to make sure we do in the second half, in addition to winning as many games as we possibly can, learning more about ourselves and the players within the organization, and we'll try to take advantage of that opportunity here moving forward.
And you mentioned that, and the team's played very good baseball the last several days, obviously getting some great pitching to do that. But Corey Kluber had mentioned that, the season's not over, and the players still feel that there's a lot to play for here. And how encouraging is it from your standpoint to hear that from one of your top players?
Yeah, I think that's – winning is always a priority. And so, you know, we need to make sure we do what we can to play winning baseball in the second half of the season. And as we've said all along, we continue to feel good about a lot of the players on the roster and feel like we should have a chance to be competitive and win some games. And I think it's really important for our players to have that mindset of going out and preparing to try to win each and every game we can. So for Kluber to say that, it doesn't surprise me, knowing the competitor that he is and the leader that he is, and I think that should be the focus of our roster.
All right, Chris. Well, I know it's been a busy time for you. Appreciate the time, and we'll catch up with you again next week. Thanks.
All right, Rosie. Thank you.
That's Indians general manager Chris Antonetti talking about the trade deadline, what the Indians were able to do, and what they expect of this team the next 2 months. Certainly no one in that clubhouse is mailing it in these last 2 months. They feel that there's still a lot to play for, and some players still firmly believe that this team has chances for the playoffs, even without some key players who were traded this week. And we've seen it this week when they get the good starting pitching. Anything can happen. And certainly with the three complete games that they had in a row and tremendous performances by Trevor Bauer, Corey Kluber, Carlos Carrasco, and Danny Salazar, the foundation is there for success, and we'll see what transpires now over the last 2 months of the regular season. Well, we hope you can stay with us. We'll have more to come as Tribe Talk continues after this timeout on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to the Oakland Coliseum, the Indians and Athletics meeting in a four-game series this weekend. And as we do each week, we are joined by Carter Hawkins, the Indians' Director of Player Development, talking farm system and trade deadline week, a busy week for everybody in the baseball operations department for the Indians, including the minor league department headed up by Carter Hawkins. He explains why.
Yeah, certainly, Rosie, the guys in our pro scouting department and, you know, kind of on our more general baseball operations aspects of things are, you know, more involved in the proactive, you know, trying to figure out trade scenarios, you know, working through the different decisions that we're going to have to make in the next couple of days. You know, on our end in player development, it's, you know, certainly, A, as we do get new players, making sure that they're welcomed into the system, you know, have a smooth orientation into the Indians organization, and then B, you know, as players come up in trade discussions that are currently in our system, you know, making sure that Chris and Tito and Mike Chernoff and everyone involved in those negotiations, you know, really understand the players that we have and make sure that we can answer any questions as they make some of those tough decisions. So, you know, it's really a reactive standpoint for us in player development and then, you know, giving input to, you know, our current players. But certainly the heavy lifting is done by, you know, the guys in our analytics department, our scouting department, and our baseball operations department, just, you know, really trying to figure out the best decision here for the next few days.
And it's been a little bit since we've talked about AAA Columbus, and certainly it would seem to be a topic of good discussion this week because a lot of these players could see some time up here at some point in time based on what goes on the next couple of days and certainly in September. And a player comes up today, Tyler Holt. We've seen him in the past. And what type of season has he had down there trying to make some progress to be a better player up here?
Yeah, the silver lining to a lot of these moves is, you know, the players are getting some opportunities. You know, guys that are working hard down in the minor leagues are getting the chance to come up to Cleveland and, you know, really show what they can do and provide a spark to the team. And that's definitely, you know, what Tyler is able to do. He always plays with energy. You know, he's 110% every second of every pitch. Can steal a base, play outfield defense at all three positions, and put up quality at bats as well. You know, you can kind of see some of that energy last year when he played up in the major leagues, and, you know, he's definitely continued to do that in Columbus, and it'll be a good opportunity for him to come up, potentially provide a spark, and, you know, hopefully get this offense going.
A player you've been able to keep in the system with a couple of appearances at the major league level is Jerry Sands, and that right-handed bat at, what are you looking for from him to maybe be able to make that next step and stay here the next time if he gets a chance?
Yeah, really for Jerry, it's about consistent at-bats and just getting that good opportunity for us. You know, he's come up and he's really performed in spurts in the major leagues, and he's certainly continued to perform down in Columbus as well. He's really been the leader of that offense, you know, continues to drive the ball, hit for power, play good defense in the outfield and at first base. So, you know, I think there's a great chance that, that Jerry will have an opportunity up here in Cleveland here at some point, and, you know, it'll be fun to see what he can do with a little bit more consistent workload at the major league level.
Carter Hawkins joining us, Indians Director of Player Development. We're talking AAA Columbus. Jose Ramirez was the starting shortstop here for the first several months of the season, now down at AAA, and I know you're moving him around quite a bit. How's the outfield experiment working with Jose?
He's enjoyed that. I mean, he's certainly offensively has really picked up where he left off from last year down in Columbus, swinging the bat really well, along with Sands, you know, arguably at the top of that offense. And just getting him more versatility is always good, just to get him more chances for at-bats and just to increase the opportunities that he might have at the major league level. So getting him in the outfield, playing some left field most recently, you know, we just love having those guys that we can move around, you know, the Mike Avilas types. And really looking forward to him getting that opportunity up the big leagues again here in the near future.
And a different season for him, I'm sure, not what he was expecting. How has he handled that on the mental side?
He's really handled it well. I mean, Jose loves to play. Whenever you bring him out of the lineup, he's wondering why he's not in there. He wants to play every day. He's an absolute grinder. He wants to play winter ball all winter. You know, he just loves being on the baseball field. So, you know, he's not as concerned with where he's hitting in the order, what position he's playing. He's just concerned about playing and getting a chance to have at bats and getting a chance to contribute to a win for his team, whether that's in Columbus or Cleveland. So, you know, certainly not worried about, you know, his mindset. We just know that he's out there to win. He's out there to play hard and know that he'll be able to do that here in Cleveland here.
And similar with Lonnie Chisenhall, who's gone through some of the same things?
Yeah, Lonnie's played some outfield as well recently and done a great job out there. Chris Trimmie and his staff have had really good reviews. Just from the A, his, you know, time before game, and then B, in the limited time he's had in game in the outfield, made some nice throws, made some nice reads. You know, so looking to continue to increase his versatility as well for those, you know, extra opportunities at the major league level. And, you know, certainly along with all those other guys we've talked about, you know, there'll be a lot of opportunities for guys here in the near future. And I'm sure Lonnie's, you know, right on that radar as well.
Now let's turn to the mound and take a look at some options in the bullpen. A pitcher we have not seen during the regular season, but we saw him in spring training, is Sean Armstrong. And here's a guy, looks like good power arm that could work at the back end.
Yeah, he's a guy that we got out of East Carolina University three or four drafts ago. Bob Mayer, one of our area scouts, was big on him coming out of the draft. And he steadily moved up through the system, continuing to miss bats wherever he's been. You know, really for him, it's about consistency. It's about, you know, ability to throw strikes and not just miss bats, but to be able to come in and not give up free passes. And that's really been the name of the game for him in Columbus as well. His strikeout rate is extremely high. We know he can come in and compete at the major league level with a major league fastball, with a major league cutter. You know, that's there. It's just a matter of him being consistent and throwing strikes and attacking the zone. So he'll get his major league opportunity certainly at some point. And when he does that, we're looking forward to him, you know, just trusting his stuff and trying to go after guys and, you know, letting it work for him.
And always good to have some lefties in the mix. What about Giovanni Soto? What kind of progress has he made at AAA?
It's been a really fun year for Gio. You know, it was a guy that really shot up our system. I think he started the first game of spring training 3 years ago. You know, so it was a guy that we've always had on our radar, but regressed a little bit over the last couple years. But this year, it really just took his routine to a new level, took his mindset to a new level, really just started to be the professional that we knew he could be and he knew he could be. And he's got a four-pitch mix, which is unusual for a guy that's, you know, in a bullpen. He can hit you with a sinker, with a curveball, with a slider, with a changeup. You know, so he really keeps guys on his toes, can get left-handers and right-handers out. So, you know, it's great to have, you know, versatility in the bullpen, just like it's great to have versatility on the field with, you know, moving guys around different positions. To have a guy that, you know, doesn't have to just be a left-handed specialist like Gio is pretty exciting. And, you know, he's a bulldog. He attacks guys and, you know, really making himself on Tito's radar as well.
And C.C. Lee's been here before, has had some real good opportunities, just hasn't been able to stick. Has he done some things at AAA that might help next time around?
Certainly C.C., you know, like Sean, has the stuff to get major league hitters out. His slider, especially from that low slot against right-handed hitters, is really tough for guys to pick up. So, you know, obviously in AAA he's had a lot of success and has been intermittent with the success up in the big leagues. And it's just about capturing that confidence, capturing that conviction in his pitching up in the major league level. And, you know, as soon as he does that and as soon as he can do that consistently, he's going to be a really good weapon from the right side.
All right, Carter, always great to have you on. I know a busy time. We'll catch up with you again next week.
Thanks, Rosie. I appreciate it.
That's Carter Hawkins, the Indians Director of Player Development. Stay tuned. We'll have some final thoughts and hear from Francisco Lindor and Carlos Carrasco when we come back after this on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to our final segment of Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you in Oakland, California, the Oakland Coliseum, where Francisco Lindor's had a good series. So did Carlos Carrasco, starting the series opener on Thursday night. We had a chance to catch up with Lindor prior to the series beginning after a big day Wednesday at home. Lindor with his fifth home run of the season, a three-run shot that keyed an Indians victory over Kansas City. And he talked about an impressive first month in the major leagues and what's been most exciting and rewarding for him so far.
I mean, I want to continue to get better. I don't want to say I'm pleased, because pleased sounds like I'm comfortable, and I don't want to get comfortable. You know, I want to continue to get better. I want to continue to strive towards greatness. That's something I'm never gonna achieve, because I mean, greatness is stuff. But I mean, I would like to be good day in and day out. Eventually, that'll lead to something good. So it's just, I mean, I'm having fun. I'm having a blast. I'm enjoying the ride. I'm enjoying being part of the Indians. I'm enjoying being out here in the field.
And we see a little bit of power, and it comes on occasion. How do you balance wanting to hit for a little power when you can, and then also just staying within what you do well?
That's when I get in trouble. You know, when I try to hit for power, that's when I get in trouble. So I try to forget about it. I mean, I hit them, makes me happy. Try to forget all of them and move on to my next at bat, which is do whatever it takes to get on base. I mean, if I hit a home run, great. I'm not going to be a power hitter just because I got one or two home runs. That doesn't mean I'm a power hitter. So I just got to continue to do what got me here, and that was putting the ball in play, getting on base, making something happen, and hopefully that continues to give me success.
And team-wise, a nice win yesterday. Keys in all the areas, pitching, hitting, defense. How important was yesterday to come out of there with a win after what had been a difficult homestand?
Very big. I think it was very big for us. You know, he helped us to get that confidence back. You know, even though we didn't lose it, but it's always good when everybody gets hits, everybody gets on base, everybody scores. You know, it's good for us. It's good for the team and for the fans as well.
And when you look at what's been happening the last 24 hours, it's part of baseball, trade deadline, some things happen. How do you react as a younger player just getting here when you see some established veterans on the move?
I mean, it's hard to see them go. However, I mean, I wish them nothing but the best. I learned from them, from Murph and Moss, while they were here. You know, I just wish them nothing but the best. I hope they continue the great career they've been having. And hopefully they got many years to play left.
And when you look at what's left here, obviously you're part of what is a young core here. And how optimistic are you about what's here and what could happen in the future here?
I'm focusing on what we got here. I think we got a great team, great group of guys. You know, what could start a great, what could continue a great legacy that we have, you know. And I'm blessed to be here. I'm excited, and I can't wait.
Fun to watch yesterday. Thanks, Francisco.
Thank you for having me.
That's Indian shortstop Francisco Lindor. A very solid first month plus now in the major leagues. A solid season going for starting pitcher Carlos Carrasco, who threw a gem, a complete game, allowing just one run on Thursday night for his 11th win of the season here in Oakland. And when we caught up with Carrasco to talk to him about his recent success, he talked about adjustments that are so important to make that he made heading into his start in Oakland.
Yeah, you know what? I think this game is about make an adjustment. And that's what I did. And that's what I did with Mickey, the pitching coach. And I'm just trying to figure out the way that I pitched last year, the way my mechanic was last year. And that's what I did last night. So everything's come out really good on my hands and every pitch. And I need to continue to do that.
Does it make you appreciate how tricky it can be and how quickly things can change just a little bit that can cause you not to have success?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. There have to be 20 games before I find out what I did wrong. But I think I find out like two weeks ago, and I just started working in the bullpen. And yesterday in the bullpen, I just talked to Mickey. So if he sees something different, if he sees if he saw something new. So he told me, yes, and you mechanic it right here a little bit. And then he told me, okay, keep it going, and I just go right there and just go down. And that's what I did last night.
I know you got nicked for a run early, but then you really settled in and seemed to get stronger as the game went along. And was that the case?
Mm-hmm. You know what? I think my teammate, they gave me opportunity, so they made three runs the first inning. So I say, okay, this is my time. Just hold it right there. I got one run the first inning, and the first inning kind of started a little bit slow. And they just came back and talked to Gumps. They said, hey, that's it. That's all they got. And for that point to the last out, I just did really good.
Nowadays, for starting pitchers, complete games are not common at all. What's it like for you to be able to shake that catcher's hand at the end of a game because you know you went the distance?
Yeah, you know what? They feel great. They feel great, you know, shake the hand with my teammate Gumps. He called a great game. I think I checked maybe one or two times, and everything was he called. I just follow him, and he was great behind home plate.
You mentioned that. What makes him so easy to follow and not check off and be a good catcher that pitchers like to throw to?
I think the spirit, the you know, everything that we learn on the meetings, and that's what we had the meeting, and that's what we talked before the game, and I think. That's good. When you do that, when you catching, you just only check maybe one or two times, or everything's good. But when you check like too many times, so sometimes I did too many times, and these things are like check, and they just got a base or something. It's whatever he put down, or just follow him.
And team-wise, the trade deadline has come and gone. There have been some moves. And what's the mindset of this ball club with 2 months to go in the regular season in terms of possibilities and things like that?
No, you know what? Like we said last night, baseball, it is what it is. You know, the trade. So we know the trade is in June, July, and you know what? We still have 2 months, and we need still competing. It's not that easy when you hear a lot of names from your teammates, and we don't know if this guy is going. You know what? We have to continue work hard. That's what we need to do. What we need to do, and now we can control about that.
Fun to watch last night. Thanks for coming by, Carlos. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
That's Tribe starting pitcher Carlos Carrasco, and that'll do it for this edition of Tribe Talk. Great to have you with us this week. We'll join you next week when the team is back home taking on the Minnesota Twins next weekend. Until then, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Tribe Talk on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Baseball, talking Tribe. Nobody plays harder than the Tribe. We've got the players. These guys are really hot. We've got a future. We're headed to the top. We're on the warpath. It's spreading far and wide. We're talking baseball. Talking Tribe.
You've been listening to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, where winners eat.